It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley. And hey, this week is going to be a special week on Fresh Oil. I want to take a look at a great book from the New Testament, the book of James, and do a little bit of verse-by-verse teaching. James chapter 1 and verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, James is one of the two books in the New Testament that were written to the Jews. The first would be the book of Hebrews, and this one, the book of James, was written primarily for the Jewish people. And that's why he says to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, remember, James was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he refers to himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James recognized that Jesus was no ordinary brother. He wasn't the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. And in verse 2 is an amazing verse that sometimes we can find it difficult. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, usually our natural reaction when a trial comes our way is not to smile and laugh. Normally, we want to complain. We want to be sad because a trial has come our way. And James says, no, you consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There is a purpose behind the pain. There is a reason God allowed the trial to get your way. Remember, I often say nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of a sovereign God. So if it gets this far, it's come with great purpose, and God will see me through. See, James recognized that when a trial comes our way, it comes with a purpose, the testing of our faith, and it will develop perseverance. Whenever Satan brings a trial your way and he's hitting you hard, just say, this is building a testimony. This trial I'm going through today will make me stronger tomorrow. And then he goes on, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, so many times when we pray for God to take our trial away, we're actually going against what God really wants for us, because he wants that trial to make us mature. He wants that trial to make us stronger. James said in verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, I don't think he's talking here about education. I think he's talking here about understanding the purpose behind the trial. If we lack wisdom and we're like, God, I don't understand this, then we ask God, Lord, show me why this trial has come my way. Help me to understand what you want me to learn from this trial. James said in verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. God is moved by our faith. We have to be careful to not doubt whenever we ask God, because then we're not going to receive from him what we're asking of him. James said that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. James is exhorting us to not be double-minded. Have a single focus of mind where we trust God's word and what he said and what he's doing in our life, and not be double-minded. You would be unstable in all your ways. And in verse 9, he goes on, he says, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Did you ever notice, friend, how the teachings of the Bible can often be the opposite of the way the world thinks? James says, if you're in humble circumstances, take pride in your high position. He says, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade even while he goes about his business. Now, James is not telling us here that all rich people are going to fail and all rich people are not godly people. But if you're trusting in your riches, you're going to fail. If you're trusting in your natural possessions and not in God, it's not going to work out good for you. And then in verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Friend, when trials come our way, when tests come our way, Satan has an objective of the test, and that is to make you fail, to make you fall, to make you doubt God and give up. But God has an objective behind allowing the trial, and that is that you will persevere, that you will grow, and that you'll come out better on the other side of your trial. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I want you to know, friend, this world is not my home. My home is in heaven. Down here, we're pilgrims and strangers. But God has a reward for those who love him. He says in verse 13, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." Here in verse 13, James teaches us a very important doctrine, and that is this: God does not tempt us. God is not behind temptation. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Now, friend, it is our flesh that draws us into temptation, the lust of our flesh, the desire of our flesh. And then Satan is there with the hook baited with your weakness, trying to entice you, trying to pull you away. Then after desire has conceived, verse 15 tells us the next step, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So James is telling us here, the end result of that temptation is to bring death in your life, because sin brings death. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers," he says. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." That verse 17 is one of the great verses of the New Testament. It helps you understand that God is a good God, that God does not give you bad things. And when sickness and disease or poverty or all these things come our way, it's not God. It is the devil bringing that stuff your way. Because every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. It comes from your heavenly Father. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Wow, that is amazing, friend. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. You and I are born again, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So this first part of chapter 1, James is teaching us about trials and temptations. Our attitude should be one of joy when we face trials, because we know the end results are going to be good. God is going to see us through it, we're going to mature, and we're going to grow through whatever we have faced. He now changes in verse 19, and he's going to be talking about listening and doing. He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Wow, what great advice. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Many times we're so quick to just speak whenever we're talking with somebody and they're trying to share with us what they're going through. We just want to speak out and fix everything. And God's telling us here through James, no, just listen. Sometimes people need just someone to listen. I read recently about a man who took out an ad in a paper, and he offered to pay people $50 an hour just to listen to him. He needed somebody to just listen to what he was saying. We are so quick to speak God says, be slow to speak and be quick to listen. And for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Whenever someone hurts your feelings or someone says something that you just really disagree with, try listening before you speak. Now we get to the therefore in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I love how James describes the word is planted in you. When we study God's word and we read God's word and listen to God's word, it's like a seed planted in our life, planted in our heart. And that seed can bring forth fruit. That seed can bring forth blessing. And he brings out in James here, it can save you. Verse 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James is big on being a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see, we're not called to just listen to God's word. We're called to do what it says. I love verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. Friend, there is a blessing that comes from being a doer of God's word. A blessing that will come into your life when you begin to be obedient to the word of God. Now let's wind this up today. In verse 26, James continues. He says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. James is a great book to teach us about the power of the tongue. See, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. I've seen people destroy someone with their tongue. I've seen people literally bring someone down because they spoke such evil, negative words over someone. But I've also seen someone who would build people up with their tongue. When I finish preaching every Sunday morning, there are certain people in my life that are always there to encourage me. I can't tell you what it means to me when those people begin to speak words of life over me and encouraging words. It's very important, friend. James also said here, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Are you religious today or are you righteous? There is a big difference. Religion won't do anything for you, friend, unless you are righteous, born again through Jesus Christ. That's what brings change in our life. That's what the world will see when they see us and see God in us. They will want what we have. Now, verse 7, he winds this up. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I love that. He's like, if you want the God kind of religion, take care of the orphans and the widows. And that's the kind of religion that God loves and accepts. Thank you, friend, for joining me today on Fresh Oil. All week long, we're going to be taking a look at the book of James, a great book that teaches us about the tongue and how it's a rudder. And we need to be careful with the words we say. Let's build someone up today and not tear them down. Walk in grace. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.